Good evening. This is one of those odd times when you're not supposed to be cheerful. It's kind of like Good Friday. You see people at church and you're like, it's not supposed to be one of these happy days, but I am so blessed to see you all here. I'm so blessed to be here. I am excited beyond the somber day that we are supposed to have today. This is supposed to be one of those, let's fast and let's be ready to start this 6 weeks of ready to go and get ready for Easter. But you know, Scripture says we shouldn't be gloomy about that. You know, we shouldn't be like the hypocrites. That's one of Jesus' favorite words, you hypocrites. He says we shouldn't be like those people who are like, oh, you know, I would pray with you, but I'm fasting, so I'm really too tired. Your ox has fallen into a ditch. I would love to help you, but I'm too tired. I'm fasting. I haven't had a thing to eat in at least 6 hours. And in fact, in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus makes it clear. He says, when you fast, do not be like the hypocrites with a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces that they may appear to men to be fasting. Look, make sure everyone knows that you're fasting so they can see how holy that you are. Oh, look, clearly everyone's fasting. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, so that you do not appear to men to be fasting, but to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Now this is the third thing that he said that is exactly along these lines. He says, when you give charitable offerings, don't let people know. Now the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they went around and they had people who would go around with them and like sound horns and blow trumpets so that people would know, the beggars would know, hey, there's somebody coming around giving money. And so they would head to wherever this person was who was, you know, blowing the trumpet, and they would go to them to get money. Says, look, here I am handing out money. See how charitable I am. See how closely I adhere to the law. And when you pray, don't be like those hypocrites who go off and do these loud, lengthy prayers. Uh-oh. But again, it's not entirely what he's talking about. They're talking about people who pray just for the sake of gaining other people's respect. People who do things for the sake of having other people look at them and go, wow, what a spiritual person that is. How mighty and how impressive that person's spiritual life must be. If you pray a long time because you have a lot to say to God, that's not what Jesus is talking about. Jesus talked to God quite a bit. And it wasn't the case that he was saying, you know what, maybe I should cut this short. No. It wasn't the number of words, it wasn't the word count on his prayer essay that was an issue. It was the heart that underlied it. In fact, he says, when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathens do, for they think they'll be heard in their many words. It's not what you say, it's the vanity. Their attitude was the issue. It's the vain repetition. It's the heart that goes along with these things that they're saying. We have records and scriptures of prayers that go on for chapters. These aren't condemned. These are men who had intimate relations with God. They spoke to God because they knew him. They were friends with him. They had things to say. The issue is when you have this presence that you're trying to go, hey, look, look at me. See how holy I am. Trying to make everyone think that you're holier than they are. That's what Jesus is criticizing. That's what Jesus is saying. Oh, look, don't be holier than thou. Don't try that holier than thou attitude. But nevertheless, we get to that day every year where the gospel for the day seems to completely contradict the liturgical action of the day. Because the gospel says, hey, look, don't disfigure your faces when you're fasting. Don't do something so that everyone knows that you're fasting. And we, as we begin to prepare for a 40-day, 6-week fast, we start off by putting a big black X on our forehead. Right after we read a passage that says, when you fast, don't let other people know you're doing it. Riddle me this, Pastor. So, how do we reconcile these two things? Well, the fact is that that cross that we put on our forehead doesn't really signify the fact that we're fasting. They go together, but only sort of because we start a fast on the day when we do this. Because here's what that cross represents. In a few minutes, Father Ed and I are going to stand up here and we're going to mark each one of you with this cross. And we're going to say the words, remember you are dust, and to dust you shall return. In Latin, this is called a memento mori. Remember you're going to die. This is a hard thing for most of us. The younger we are, the harder it is to think about. Every last one of us is going to die. The world does everything they can to pretend this is not true. We go through incredible feats of God knows what, medicine, drugs, strange all sorts of chemical concoctions and strange, ridiculous fashion faux pas and makeup and hair dye and all sorts of other things to forestall the inevitable, that we are all going to die. And for the world, that is a horrible thing to reckon with, because it just ends. That's the stop. You die, and it's over. And there the story ends. But for us, that's not the case. Amen. We need to remember that it's not the end. We need to remember that the world has it wrong. Even those who acknowledge that there is some spiritual mumbo-jumbo out there, and they're like, oh, we're spiritual beings. Yeah. It's awesome. You know, we're bodies, but we have a spirit, and it's amazing. No. That's backwards. We are spirits, and we have a body. This body is decaying, and ultimately, as it was made from the dust, it is going to return to the dust. It is going to just decay into nothingness. And our spirit will remain. Our spirit is eternal. It was from the beginning, and it will be in the end. And when God chooses to, when we're long gone, he will blow that trumpet, and what was dust that became us that returned to the dust will return, and we will return in resurrected bodies. And that will be the most glorious day. So, as we are marked with that sign of the cross on our forehead, remember that you are dust, and to dust you shall return, is only half the story. Because when you return to the dust, that's not the end. St. Paul tells us in Romans that if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more, and death no longer has dominion over him. So, that cross, the sign of his death, becomes the sign of his resurrection and the sign of ours. It's not the end. We mark ourselves with a sign that reminds us that we're going to die because it reminds us that he died and rose again. And we will die and rise again. And we need to live to that end. We need to live our lives mindful of the fact that we are going to die and ultimately rise. And we need to remind ourselves, as St. Paul told us today, that we are ambassadors for him. And we have a ministry of reconciliation, and that as Jesus was sent to the world, and God was in Christ Jesus, reconciling the world to himself, we are here to reconcile the world to Christ Jesus. And most of the time, mediocre is about as good as we get. Very few of us get any better than that. And we need to always be working at doing better. But we have stuff that holds us back. We have stuff that prevents us. We have stuff that hinders our relationship with the Lord. We have, you know, the wonderful thing about the cross is it not only represents what Christ did for us, his death and his resurrection, our death and resurrection, but it represents our relationship. It represents in its upright beam, it represents our relationship with God, and with its horizontal beam, it represents a relationship with the world. So we can look at it as we're marked with the sign of the cross on our forehead. Hey, remember, you need to get right with God and work on your relationship with the Lord, and you need to work on your relationship with man as well. Because we're here to be ambassadors. And there's things about my spiritual life. There's things about my daily walk that keep other people from following Jesus because I am all that they know of him. They know I'm a Christian. I'm the only Christian they know. And they look at me and go, yeah, I'll pass. He's got this issue. Now, there's some things I might not ever be able to change. Not everybody's going to like you. But if there's something I can change, by God's grace, I need to work on it. So what is this whole Lent thing about? What is this prayer and fasting? Now, I'm not saying that anybody here has demons, but you know, when the apostles had a father bring a young boy to him in Mark chapter 9, they went to try and heal the boy and they failed. And the boy was possessed by a demon and they couldn't cast out the demon. And Jesus came and Jesus healed the boy immediately. And the apostles went to him and said, "What gives? We've done this kind of stuff before. How does this work? What's going on?" And Jesus said, 9:29, he said, "This kind can only come out by nothing but prayer and fasting." Now, I don't know about you, the issues that I deal with and have dealt with for a long time. Now, I'm not saying they're demonic. It's much harder to blame myself. It's much easier to blame, or much harder to blame myself. It'd be a lot easier to blame a demon. Much harder to just own it. Say, "Look, it's me. I got to deal with it." So maybe I should look at it as my own thing that I've got to deal with. Can I deal with it alone? No. Do I have to? No. Thanks be to God. I don't have to. Listen to the collect we have for today. We may begin with holy fasting, this campaign of Christian service, that as we take up battle against spiritual evils, we may be armed with weapons of self-restraint. We are overcoming the world. We are winning the world for Christ. Lent isn't about us. It's about the world. It's about removing those barriers in ourselves so that other people can come to Him. There's stuff that I got to do. I tell you, the most shocking, jarring thing that I ever heard from one priest to another was when my confessor called me out and said, "Why is it that I hear the same things every time you come to me?" You want to talk about a bullet between the eyes? That's got to come out with prayer and fasting. Now, maybe I'm just talking to myself. Hopefully. Benefit of the doubt for all of you. But maybe some others here have got some things that we need to address. Maybe for the next 6 weeks, maybe we need to dedicate ourselves to becoming better ambassadors, better missionaries. Because there's a world out there that needs the gospel, that needs ambassadors, that needs missionaries. The harvest is ripe. The fields are ready. God didn't just save us so we could check out and go right to heaven. We have a job to do. This cross reminds us that we're called to do a work because we're going to die and we're going to be raised to eternal life. Can we say that about our neighbors? Can we say that about our coworkers? Is there something in our life that's preventing them from seeing God in us? Maybe that should be your focus of prayer and fasting in the next 6 weeks. May the Holy Spirit lead us all and guide us in this holy season. And may we all have the grace to see it through to the end. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.